Chapter 10. Back to Civilization. In the central London hatchery and conditioning centre, everyone was busy at work. At 2:30, the director and Henry Foster entered the fertilising room. The director looked very serious.
"I've asked Mr. Marks to meet me here," the director was saying, "because it contains more alpha and beta workers than any other room in the centre. Mr. Marks must be a public example. I will tell him here about my decision to transfer him to Iceland."
"But he does his work very well," Henry said, trying to sound sincere.
"I know, and that is the reason why the punishment must be severe," the director explained. "Mr. Marks is very talented, and that gives him a lot of power to influence others. He's extremely dangerous because his unorthodox behaviour can damage society. Ah, here he comes."
Bernard had entered the room and was walking towards them. "Good morning, Director," he said, trying not to show how nervous he was. "You asked me to come and speak to you here."
"Yes, I did, Mr. Marks," the director said severely. "You returned from your holiday last night, I understand."
Then, speaking more loudly, he said,
"Ladies and gentlemen."
Everyone in the room stopped working and looked round. There was complete silence.
"Ladies and gentlemen," the director repeated, "excuse me for interrupting your work, but the security and stability of society are in danger."
Every worker in the room was completely still, listening carefully.
"This man is an Alpha Plus, but he has betrayed society," the director continued, pointing at Bernard. "His unconventional ideas are dangerous to the order and stability of society. He's a danger to civilization. I am therefore ordering him to leave his job, and I will ask for his transfer to a sub-centre in Iceland. There he won't be able to influence people with his unfordly behaviour."
The director turned to Bernard.
"Mr. Marks," he said, "can you show any reason why I should not punish you for your unacceptable behaviour?" "Yes, I can," Bernard answered in a very loud voice. "My reason is right outside the door."
Bernard hurried to the door and opened it.
"Come in,"
he ordered. And the reason came into the room. It was Linda. There was a murmur of surprise and horror in the room. Linda was middle-aged, enormously fat, and her skin was wrinkled. She looked so different from all the young alphas and betas, with their perfect bodies. She was smiling, and everyone could see her broken yellow teeth.
"There he is,"
Bernard said, pointing to the director.
"Did you think I didn't recognize him?"
Linda asked indignantly. Turning to the director, she said,
"Of course I knew you, Tamarkin. I would know you anywhere. But perhaps you've forgotten me. I'm your Linda. Don't you remember, Tamarkin?"
The director looked at her in disgust, and Linda stopped smiling.
"Tamarkin,"
she repeated in a trembling voice and held out her arms. Someone in the room began to laugh.
"Tamarkin!"
Linda ran towards him and threw her arms around his neck. There was loud laughter in the room. Everyone was amused by the sight of this monster trying to embrace the director.
"Is this a joke?"
the director asked angrily, trying to push Linda's arms away. She held on to him desperately.
"Don't you remember me? I'm Linda,"
she shouted.
"I had your baby."
There was silence. The director's face became pale.
"Yes, a baby, and I was its mother,"
Linda shouted. Suddenly, ashamed, She covered her face with her hands and began to cry.
It wasn't my fault. I always used contraceptives,
she said.
It was terrible, but my son has always been a comfort to me.
Turning to the door, she called,
John!
John came in, looked around, and walked quickly across the room. He fell on his knees in front of the director and said in a clear voice,
My father!
There was hysterical laughter in the room. The director looked at all the laughing people and felt completely humiliated and helpless. He put his hands over his ears and walked quickly out of the room, pale and trembling. A few days later, the director resigned. Everyone in London was now curious to see this savage who had called the director my father. No one was interested in Linda, however. Being a mother was too obscene. Besides, she wasn't a real savage, like John. She had been created in a bottle and conditioned like everyone else in London. And most of all, she was fat, old, and had bad teeth and bad skin. People couldn't look at her without feeling sick. Linda didn't want to see anyone either. Now that she was back in civilization, all she wanted was to lie in bed and take one Soma holiday after another. She asked the doctor who was caring for her for larger and more frequent doses of Soma. Soon, she was taking as much as 20 grams a day. She stayed in bed in her little room with the radio and television always on. Her body was in bed, but her mind was in some other world. Meanwhile, all the people who wanted to see the fascinating savage had to ask Bernard, since Mustafa Mond had made him John's guardian. For the first time in his life, Bernard was treated as an important person by everyone at the centre. Henry Foster did everything he could to be friendly to him, and now Bernard could have any woman he wanted.
I had 6 girls last week, Bernard told Helmholtz Watson.
Helmholtz's face showed disapproval as he listened to his friend. Bernard was now behaving as if the only thing that was important was being a social success. Bernard sensed his friend's disapproval and was offended.
I'll never speak to Helmholtz again, he thought.
The days passed. Although Bernard was a success, he continued his old habits of criticizing sports, Soma, and society in general. People listened to him politely, but behind his back they said,
That young man is very unpleasant. He's so antisocial. He'll come to a bad end.